It's really a privilege to always come into the house of God and share his word. But before I start, I just want to say thank you to the children for that beautiful song to the fathers today. And it really does tie in with my message. You may not actually see it, but hopefully at the end of the sermon I can bring that home. But family is really important. And the first song we sang, I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God, it really is about being part of the family of God. And so this sermon today might seem a little bit strange at first, but I want us to be able to understand that the family of God and what God really wants for a family is absolutely crucial. My sermon today is entitled Twins Under Attack. But before I open the Word of God and before I share this message with you all, I'm just going to ask God to help me because I can't share this without his help. Oh, loving Father in heaven, Lord, as your Word is open this morning, your truth and your righteousness, may it shine through. I pray that you'll calm my nerves, that you'll send your Spirit to help me, and that this message that you've put on my heart will be a blessing to the hearers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, twins under attack. The World Trade Center. You've probably all heard of the World Trade Centers. They were formed in the minds of David and Nelson Rockefeller, mainly David, who were very rich men, businessmen, high, known in the world. And this thought came to them, particularly David, that he would be able to build these World Trade Centres and that they would be part of the economy and that they would bring the whole world together and unite them in money. So between the years 1966 and 1975, at the cost of $400 million, which is equivalent to $3.8 billion last year, these buildings were erected. These twins stood side by side, but in the process of them being made, much went into these buildings. A lot of technical engineers and all these people that were able to put these buildings together and construct them. But these buildings were made on pride. They were made on selfishness. The unbelievable money that went into it, that was poured into them, with marble, with stone, the glass, the best they could get. But these twins stood side by side and man looked up to them in glory and honoured man for what he had done. But that was all to come crashing down. At 8:46 a.m., American Airlines number 11 struck between the 93rd and the 99th floor of the North Tower in New York. At 9:03, not long after, the United Airlines Flight 175 crashes, striking between the 77th floor and the 85th floor. Not long after, only 56 minutes after the South Tower was hit, it came crashing down. Followed by the North Tower, 1 hour and 42 minutes after it had first been struck, came down as well. I believe our prophet Ellen White saw these twin towers come down. In a vision she had, interestingly enough, in Testimonies Volume 9, and it actually started on page 11, 9-11, the prophet of the Lord wrote this. On one occasion, while she was in New York City, she saw in night season, she called upon to behold buildings that were rising higher and higher, story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to the glory of their owners and their builders. Higher and still higher, these buildings rose, and in them, the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, "How can I best glorify God?" The Lord was not in their thoughts. As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that the money that they had used in gratifying and provoking the envy of their neighbours. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at these lofty, supposedly fireproof buildings and they said they were perfectly safe. But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The engines could do nothing to stay them of the destruction, and the firemen were unable to operate their engines. Now, I know what happened on that day. I clearly remember, and a lot of you probably weren't born, but a lot of you probably do remember that nearly 3,000 people lost their lives that day. It was a tragedy. But that's actually not what the sermon is about. The sermon today is about some other twins, twin institutions of God. I want us to explore the real twins, the twins that are made by God and for the glory of God. So I'm going to go right back to the beginning in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And if you want to open your Bibles, you're welcome to. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him, male and female, he created them. So right from the beginning, we get this picture of a family that God created in his own image, male and female. Genesis 2, 22 and 23, we have our second witness. And the rib which the Lord God had taken out of the man made he the woman and brought him unto the man. And Adam said, "Thou is now brought to my out of my bones and flesh of my flesh." I think I'll read it better up here. "Woman, because she was taken out of man, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave, and the two shall become one." So here we have once again, God has created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And when a man decides that he wants to leave and marry, he leaves his father and mother, male and female. I love this from Heavenly Places. It says, "When the Lord presented Eve to Adam, angels of God were witnesses to the ceremony." So here we have the marriage in the Garden of Eden, the first marriage that took place between a man and a woman, and the angels were witnesses to this beautiful holy ceremony. So we've established that now. So we're going to talk about the Sabbath now. Can I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So here we have another institution. So we've talked about the family where Jesus Christ, our Father, has created male and female. But now he's created a day, the seventh day, and he's blessed it and he's sanctified it and he's hallowed it. Twin institutions are for what? The glory of God. And for the benefit of humanity. God created man for his own glory. And after test and trial, So God's created man for his own glory, and after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family. Now, why did he have to repopulate heaven? Wasn't it already populated? When we get to the end of the story, I'll share with you why it was going to be repopulated. I want to go to a model family. Now, this family wasn't perfect, but I want to explore a little bit about Abraham. Abraham was the father of many nations. And I love this verse in Genesis 18, verse 19. The word of God says this, "For I know him, that he will command his children after his household. They shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that to which he had spoken of him." Don't you love that? Wouldn't you love it if God says, "I know you. You'll command your household in the way of the Lord to keep his commandments, to do judgment and justice." I would love the Lord to say that about my family. But I have to be ashamed, and I say that hasn't always happened. But if we go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, it actually tells us that God had called Abraham to be a blessing to all nations. And I believe Abraham's family life and the way he conducted his family was a blessing. And it is, because God said it would be. Abraham would instruct his family in what? In righteousness. The law of God would be the rule of his household. And Abraham's household comprised of more than 1,000 souls. Can you believe it? Have you got 1,000 souls in your family? Are you leading them to God in righteousness and by the law of God? Well, this is what Abraham did. But remember the quote before said that we would be on this earth, and by trials and things that came upon us in our lives, if we were faithful, then God would know whether we would be worthy of a spot in heaven. So let's just talk about a couple of Abraham's trials. God called him out of the land where he'd grown up. He'd been there with his whole family, his father, all the rest of his family, his cousins, his aunts, his uncles. I can imagine there was a lot of them. But they'd fallen into idolatry, and God took Abraham out of this place and he said, "I want you to go to the land of Canaan." So he brought Abraham and all his family. But I love what Abraham did. And it's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 11, out of all those that are mentioned, Abraham's mentioned twice for two separate reasons. He unquestionably packed up his things and took his 1,000 members of his family with him on the journey to Canaan. What faith he had. He obeyed God and he did what God had called him to do. Other trials that Abraham had. Well, he didn't always get it right, did he? God promised him a son, but he went against God's wishes and he went and had a son to Hagar. That's not what God asked him to do. He was promised that the seed and the line would come down through him, through Sarah, his wife. So do we see a bit of a broken family here? Do we see that we've gone against what the original plan was in the Garden of Eden? There was a male and a female. But I think the greatest test that Abraham had, when he finally got that son of promise, when he finally yielded fully to Christ and it was accounted to him for righteousness, he and Sarah conceived a son who was called Isaac. And the line of Christ would come down through that lineage. But what a test he was about to face. Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. Now, we're all family here, and whether you've had children or not, But family, could you imagine a precious soul in your family? But in this case, the only son, the only begotten son. He was asked to sacrifice him. But once again, Abraham, the faith he had in God, he believed implicitly in the word of God and he obeyed. And he went to the altar with his son Isaac. And Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb?" And he said, "God will provide." Abraham knew that God would always provide. Abraham knew because he was a friend of God. Before I read this quote, the next thing that happened to Abraham, another test. He was visited by three angels. And those angels told Abraham that the city of Sodom was going to be destroyed. And the city of Sodom was going to be destroyed because of some habits they had that weren't very congenial to the word of God. These habits that they'd formed, pleasure, pride, gluttony. But this particular sin that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for was licentiousness. They had broken away from what God originally intended for the family. And Abraham was told by these three angels, "You need to warn Sodom of what's going to take place." Do we have a message today in the three angels that we are to warn the world of what is about to take place? I believe Abraham had the three angels' messages back then. And by faith, he followed the word of God. Oh, Abraham had love for the perishing souls. It inspired Abraham's prayer. While he loathed the sins of that corrupt and wicked city, he desired that every sinner might be saved. His deep interest for Sodom shows the anxiety that we should feel for the impenitent. We should cherish hatred for sin, but pity and love for the sinner. All around us are souls going down to ruin, as hopeless and terrible as that which befell Sodom. The spirit of Abraham was the spirit of Christ. Do you want to have that spirit? I want to have that spirit. Our first twin is under attack. When Adam and Eve were created in God's image, and that beautiful marriage was formed and angels were witnesses to it, as soon as the Lord, through Jesus Christ, created our world and placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan announces his purpose to conform his own image in who? The father and mother of all our humanity. So the war went straight away right from the beginning to attack the first institution that God had made in the Garden of Eden. Friends, I want to tell you, coming to 2024, the first twin, counterfeit twin, has been born. In the United States, they legalised gay marriage on the 26th of June 2015. And by the way, I'm probably not going to be popular for what I'm saying here this morning, but it's the truth. And I'll stand for the truth. Gay marriage was legalised. We say yes, but America... Why are we just talking about America here? Well, I'm talking about America because a lot of other countries had already legalised gay marriage. But it was in 2015, which we know the United States is the second beast in Revelation chapter 13. So today as I walk through these twin institutions that have been attacked, I'm going to look at that second beast because we know that second beast is going to form an image to the first beast. Who does this man think he is? On the 18th of December last year, he approves blessings for same-sex couples. I can tell you now, the first twin, the counterfeit twin, has been born. Are twins born together? We have a problem on our hands. Bringing us to 2024, just last month, what an abomination to God. the Last Supper. They're depicting the Last Supper in their gay outfits, in their silly outfits. What a mockery to my Saviour, to my Father. How dare. This twin has been born, I can tell you. Ellen White said this. It's interesting, it happened in France. But I want to go back to the French Revolution. France presented also the characteristics which especially distinguished Sodom. During the revolution, there was a state of moral debasement and corruption, similar to that which brought destruction upon the cities of the what? Was Abraham told to warn the cities of the plain? Can you see the link? Intimately connected with these laws affecting religion was that which reduced the union of marriage. The most sacred engagement that human beings can form, and the permanence which leads strongly to the consolidation of society. No wonder that Satan's attacked it. He's tried to ruin the whole society because the strong family bond, the marriage that brings together a family, consolidates society. And this is why society has fallen apart. God have mercy. A second twin's under attack. The twin that God instituted in the Garden of Eden, his holy Sabbath, I can tell you now, is under attack. How was it under attack? By the man of sin, Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change times and laws. Is our Sabbath involved in time? Is it the seventh day? We're here today. Praise God that we're here. We're not worshipping on the first day. We're worshipping on the seventh day. Amen to that. Review and Herald, December 11, 1888. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue, and many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whether the undercurrent is tending. They are working in blindness. They do not see that a Protestant government sacrifices the principles that have made them a free, independent nation, and through legislation brings into the Constitution principles that will propagate papal falsehood and papal delusion. They are plunging into the Roman horrors of the Dark Ages. I'm not happy about that. Because I look back at the Dark Ages when this power ruled for 1260 years and every Bible was taken off them. To have a Bible was considered you're a lawbreaker. Can you imagine if somebody came in here today and stripped us of all our Bibles? What would we do? It'd be a horrible thing. We have been so blessed. Our freedom has been bought by our forefathers. This twin's under attack. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws, and mind you, it's only a thought. It's not a reality. He can think, but he can never do it because he's not going to overrule my God. Has exalted himself above God by presenting a spurious Sabbath to the world. The Christian world has accepted the child of the papacy and cradled and nourished it, thus defying God by removing his memorial and setting up a rival Sabbath. This false Sabbath is to be enforced by an oppressive law. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I found some oppressive laws a couple of years ago. I can remember driving to work and I felt like I had the police looking at me every move I took. Do you remember those oppressive laws? Yeah. But we're free in Christ. Amen. Revelation 13, 15 and 16. And I mentioned this before, that this power, this beast power in Revelation is going to do what? And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many should worship the image of the beast should be killed. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. I actually pondered this verse for a while. never mention male and female. I wonder why. Because the society has been stripped so far from God's word that it can only be related to these people that are here now. Rich and poor, free and bond. Yeah, bond. We do not want to be in bondage. When legislative frames laws which will exalt the first day of the week and put it in place of the seventh day, the device of Satan will be perfected. Has he attacked that second institution that was made for man? I believe so. But, and there is hope here, Sunday keeping is not yet the mark of the beast and will not be until the decree goes forth causing men to worship this idol Sabbath. The time will come when this day will be the test. But the time has not yet come. So I'm appealing to us all today, while we have this little time, this grace that God's given, that we will start reflecting the lovely image of Jesus. That we will start going to the Word of God, because we don't know how long it is before it'll be stripped and taken from us, as what happened in the Dark Ages. The United States is a land that has been under the special shield of the Omnipotent One. So the United States was raised up by God and in a special sense has always been looked after by God. But the United States is going to do something terrible. God has done great things for this country, but in the transgression of his what? Of his law, men have been doing a work originated by the man of sin. Satan is working out his designs to involve who? The human family in disloyalty. Has he attacked the human family? Has he attacked society? Is he trying to strip down everything that should mean something to us? But friends, I want us to focus on the true Sabbath, not the counterfeit. I want to focus on the second twin that has always existed. It was born from Christ back in the Garden of Eden. Let's say it together. Remember, Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in there is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Friends, I looked at this verse for hours. And right in the middle I see his distinguished male and female right in the centre of the Sabbath. And if you look at the first verse, the first line, it says Sabbath. And we know the middle part of Sabbath is Father. And the very bottom of that commandment, the fourth commandment, is Sabbath again. And Abba is Father. He is Father, male and female. He created them. I'm not going to be confused. I definitely know the family that God instituted right from the beginning was none other than male and female. The fourth commandment alone of all the ten contains the seal of the great lawgiver, the creator of the heavens and earth. Isn't that a beautiful thought? There's a seal in the Sabbath. There's no seal in Sunday. I love this psalm because God says to us to remember the Sabbath. Well, even the psalmist tells us we've got to remember. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his what? His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be what? To be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I don't want to follow the man of sin. He's not gracious and full of compassion. He's going to deceive the whole world. Desire of Ages tells us this. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and he set it apart for a holy use. It was a memorial of the work of creation. Oh, yes. And this is the sign of God's power and his love. So what is the Sabbath? It's a sign of his power and his love. Is God love? It's a sign of who God is. The Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature. Who's going to go for a Sabbath walk this afternoon? I know I'm going to a bonfire tonight. I'll be out in the nature. Good. We've got a brother up the back here. And brings us into communion with the Creator. Who wants to have communion with the Creator? I want to have communion with the Creator, not the man of sin. I want to have communion with my Creator that made us in his image. No other institution. How many? No other institution which was committed to the Jews tended so full to distinguish them from the surrounding nations as the Sabbath did. Listen to this. But in order to keep the Sabbath holy, men must themselves be holy. And I found that hard thing to think about. But then I go back and I think about Abraham. Father Abraham kept the commandments and instructed his household in the way of righteousness. And thank you, Natalie, for reading the scripture readings today. That was lovely. And to Mia for the children's story. Thank you so much. God says, and hallow my Sabbath, for they shall be what? A sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. It's a sign. This sign he's made is to connect us with our Father in heaven. I mean, you might have things at home that you distinguish with your family. You might put something on your letterbox. I don't know. But God has set this day aside, and it is a sign, and it's hallowed and it's sanctified. The Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. That's the answer. The Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. So the word that he spoke into existence to create us in his image was his word. And his word, when he spoke, it stood fast. By his word, he will speak that we can be righteous and holy. Amen. No questions asked. Did Abraham ask? No, he obeyed. I love this. Letter 31, 1898. The sign of obedience is the observance of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. If men will keep the fourth commandment, what will they do? I'll keep the rest. You know why? Because if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. Just want to talk about Jesus. How can I have a sermon and not talk about Jesus? Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Jesus kept the Sabbath. Not only did he keep it, but he was the maker of it. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. It's interesting. He was brought up in a family, wasn't he? And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. Jesus kept the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath because he not only kept the Sabbath, but he was maker of the Sabbath. Jesus not only made the Sabbath, but he sanctified and made it holy. Coming back to Abraham, was he called to give his son, his only son? Was he willing to do that? Is our Father in heaven willing to give his only son? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross for you and for me? What a sacrifice our Father has made. But you know what? For that 3.5 years Jesus Christ toiled on this earth to save us, he showed us the example of love in pity. He healed. He raised the dead. But you know what? Even in his death, he kept the Sabbath. The servant of the Lord says this. At last, Jesus was at rest. At rest from what? All his work and toil that he'd done in trying to save humanity. At the last rays of the setting of the sun was ushered in the Sabbath. The Son of God lay in quietude in Joseph's tomb. His work was completed. His hands were folded in peace. And he rested through the sacred hours of the Sabbath. So in life and in death, my Saviour kept the Sabbath. I'm so glad he did have that Sabbath rest because he sure needed it after what he'd been put through by me. In closing, I talked about heaven. I talked about how it was going to be repopulated. You know who? Why we're repopulating heaven? Because there's vacancies. There's vacancies made by the fallen angels, the third that God had to cast out of heaven. There's vacancies in heaven because through test and trial, like Abraham showed us an example of what a faithful father should be, and praise God for fathers. I don't have my father anymore. He's in the grave, but I'm thankful to God for my father. But at the end, the nations of the saved will know no other than the what? The law of heaven. All will be what? A happy, united family. Clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving over the scene of the morning stars. Who are the morning stars? They're the angels. So here we have this family. We have the Father. We have the angels. And the sons of God will shout for joy while God and Christ will unite, proclaiming, there shall be no more sin. Neither shall there be any more death. I'm going to be honest and true. God can't invite sinners into a holy heaven. So we have a time now to get ourselves ready. Because I know that the second twin is right around the corner. And we need to have our hearts ready. Because when that test comes, and it's going to come to every one of us, are we going to stand like Abraham and be faithful and teach our families righteousness and judgment and truth? I'm just going to ask you that question. The Twin Towers, made for glory of man. But where did they end up? Totally obliterated. Whatever is built upon the authority of man will be overthrown. So these false institutions, these counterfeit institutions, these twins that God set up from right the inception of this world, they're just about to come to fruition, that the second twin will be born, the counterfeit twin. But that which is founded upon the rock of God's immutable what? Word shall stand forever. Friends, my appeal to you today is if your family's broken, it can be healed. We have a loving Heavenly Father that's reaching out his arms saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If your heart's burdened with sin, you can get on your knees and surrender all. Because the testimony I have today is I've probably been the worst sinner that there's been. But through the grace of God and getting on my knees and understanding what a family means, to be part of the family of God for eternity, is what I am asking you to all come and join me to be with today.